One of the things that I love about Coastline, and Pastor Aaron does such a great job, and the staff and the leadership here is, and this is one of the things that I think is missing in so many places that you guys have captured, is that as a body of Christ, you don't teach what to do, but so often when I'm here listening to Pastor Aaron or watching online, you do an incredible job of telling us why we need to do those things. It's one thing to know what we do, but how many know it's another thing to know why we do that? And so tonight, that's kind of what I want to do. I just want to take a few minutes of your time, and I know most of you probably know this because you've come out for communion specifically, but I want to talk a little bit about the why do we do this. Because like Pastor Aaron was saying, I don't want us to just to have some religious exercise or a religious calisthenics tonight and go through some kind of religious ritual and say we've done something, when in fact, perhaps tonight, I got to thinking about this after Pastor Aaron asked me just a couple of days ago if I would do this, and I really started thinking about what would it look like if all of us here tonight refused to just go through some kind of church exercise, and we really, even though we probably know this, but if we were willing to receive a fresh revelation of an old truth, and what would it look like if we all came to the communion table tonight as though we were coming for the first time and following the instructions of our Lord and Savior? Is it possible that we could have something more than just an exercise? Is it possible that God could show up tonight? Come on. Is it really possible that in these next 20 minutes or so that we could really literally have a supernatural presence of God be amongst us? How many of you know if God is amongst us, hurts are healed, hearts are mended? And I know that there are, within this room, there are some hurts that need to be healed, and there's some bodies that are broken and all those kind of things. So I want to dive into that, and I want you to just kind of capture that thought. What would it look like tonight if we partake of communion and God moves in a supernatural way? And by the way, isn't that why we're here anyway? I mean, I think you're like me. I don't really want to just come to go through some kind of routine, right? I want God to show up in my life. Pastor Aaron started this past Sunday teaching a series on the four cups, which if you weren't here, you really need to watch it online. And I just think he did an incredible job of beginning to explain to us what Passover is. And I know kind of where he's going with the series, and I just admonish you to be a part of it. But I thought what I'd like to do is just kind of tag team on that a little bit and literally use some of the same scriptures that he did. So let's go back and talk about Passover. I want to do this kind of in three phases. I want to talk about Old Testament dispensation a little bit, the Old Testament part, and how Passover moves into the New Testament, and there's a New Testament, which we now are call communion, and then it moves into, I want to move then past the Jesus dispensation while he was on earth anyway, and into what we now call the church age, the time we're in now. How does that relate to us? How many of you know if a Bible truth really doesn't relate to us, then it just becomes a historical fact? And it really, how many know we need Bible to change our life, not to just gain trivia information, right, everybody? And so let me go back and just kind of follow in the footsteps of your pastor and take you back to Passover in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter number 12. I think we're going to show the scriptures on the screen for you to follow along. In Exodus chapter number 12, starting in verse number 8, let me just read a few. I'll pick out a few. And now, before I read that, you know the story. I won't go through it all again, but the children of God, the children of Israel, have been in bondage to Pharaoh in Egypt for over 400 years. God raises up Moses. Moses steps in to deliver the people, to bring them out of bondage. And Pharaoh hardens his heart. There's all these plagues. And we get to the last plague where the firstborn boy, the firstborn animal, is going to die. That's the last plague. And here's where we pick up in the story, because God wants to bring protection for the people of God. Aren't you glad to know that tonight? And so here's where we pick up. And it says, the same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire. And we know the meat is the lamb. He taught on that Sunday, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Now, I want to just skip down for the sake of time tonight, and you can read the entirety of that later. And it says in verse 12, on the same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment. I want you to pay attention to that word because we often misunderstand that word, and we're going to, when we get to the New Testament portion, we're going to look at that word because I think a lot of times we have some misunderstanding on that. He said, I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's where we get the term Passover. If you grew up in church, we used to sing an old hymn, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's where we get the terminology Passover. But I want you to key in with me to these next words because there's something very significant about this that we often overlook. Watch this. It says, no destructive plague. Would everybody participate and read that with me? No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. That's a promise, ladies and gentlemen. That is a promise, and that promise is wrapped up in what we're going to do tonight, communion. Did you hear that? No destructive plague. I don't know about you, but that makes me sit up and pay attention. Wait a minute, because I've been through some tough things in life. Anybody else? I mean, we live in a world where bad things happen, right, everybody? But God is saying that there's something in Passover that the destructive things of life can pass over us. It doesn't mean that there will never be hard times, but we are winners and victors in the end. Let's just kind of move along. I'm trying to do a fast history lesson here. So they've come out of Egypt, and then the psalmist writes something about this miracle that God does as he delivers the children of Israel out of Egypt. And the psalmist writes this in Psalms 105, verse number 37. This is very interesting. He says, and he brought them forth with silver and gold. If I could just paraphrase a little bit, God brought them out with blessings. How many would like to just have God's blessings on your life, right? God's favor on your life. I was here when the series was going on, The Blessed Life. And it says, he brought them out with silver and gold. And watch this. And there was not a feeble person among them, or a feeble person among his tribes. And that's the American Standard Version. Some different translations say it a little bit different. The King James Version says that there was none weary among them. Another translation says this. It says that there was none sick among them. Now, that's hard to reconcile because here's what we know. We know that the Bible tells us this, and if you're not a student of the Bible, I'm sure you've seen the Ten Commandments. Right, everybody? I was out to dinner with some of the folks here, with Larry and Linda and Jim and Kim Grant. We were talking about all these Bible movies, and they thought because I'm a pastor, I've seen all the Bible movies. And I haven't seen any of the Bible movies. And finally, in exasperation, Kim looked at me and said, well, you have seen Charlton Heston play Moses, haven't you? And I said, I did play that one. I did see that one anyway, and I got to thinking, it kind of stirred something up. I started thinking about something, because the Bible says none came out sickly, none came out sick, but we do know through reading that account that a few key things happened. They were beaten, the women were raped, they were murdered, they were starved, they weren't given enough food. So how could it be that none of them came out sickly? How could it be that they came out strong and healthy and victorious? And can I tell you, if that's true for the Old Testament, how much more under the dispensation of grace does God want you to walk in health and victory and the favor of God? Come on, everybody, right? And so it made me think about the movie. I just got to tell you, I was thinking about Charlton Heston, who I always thought was Moses. But anyway, and if you've, how many of you have seen that the old, not the newer ones, but the old Ten Commandments? All right. And so one of the greatest scenes is when they start walking out and they're leaving Egypt. And there's like millions of people, and it shows mamas carrying babies. But it has this one scene. And it has this scene of a blind man coming out of Egypt. Does anybody remember that scene? Anybody at all? I see a couple heads nodding. There's a blind man coming out. And I just got to tell you, I know it's very rare that this happens, but Hollywood got that wrong. they missed it because the Bible just told us none came out sick. And I wonder if we don't understand Passover or communion, how many of us are like this Hollywood character who have come out under the grace of God, but perhaps we're walking around with some sicknesses that we don't have to. Are you willing to at least let me look at that a little bit further? Because we know that the Old Testament is just a foreshadowing of the New Testament. If you would, it's a commercial. And so if I could just kind of fast forward ahead into the New Testament, we see Jesus and the emphasis he puts on Passover. And we understand that he's teaching that he is the Passover lamb. And matter of fact, let me read to you out of Luke chapter number 22. Here's what it says in verse number 15. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this, divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and he gave thanks. We're going to do this very thing here tonight. So we're following Jesus' example. And he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I want you to catch that little phrase. He said, I want you to do this and remember what I've accomplished. It's not just what he accomplished, it's what his accomplishment provided for us. And so tonight, we're not doing it just because Jesus said, do it. We're doing it in remembrance of what Passover has provided for us. And if we don't remember what Passover has provided for us, we will look, spiritually speaking, just like the guy in the Ten Commandments coming out under the grace of God, but perhaps still bearing the wounds of our previous life. Is everybody still with me on that? And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Now, this is what we've become, what has become known in the church world as communion. Now, if we could fast forward now, so we talked about the Old Testament picture. We brought that into the New Testament as Jesus himself recognized Passover and served what we now call communion. But now Jesus has gone to heaven, and we're in what we call the church age. And so how does that relate? Jesus told us to do it in remembrance of him. So God raises up a man by the name of Paul to give us instruction on how and why we're having communion. Remember, we're trying to answer the question of why are we doing this tonight? And so Paul, he comes to talk to us about communion because there was a bunch of Christians called the Corinthians who were doing communion in such a way that they had lost the whole meaning of it. They were just kind of going through a religious ritual. And some of them, if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, they were just doing it as a common thing, just like when they got together for dinner. And so Paul, however, when Paul describes it, and as it's translated into our language, Paul's teaching on communion has probably been one of the most misunderstood portions of Scripture that has caused a lot of people. I would dare say there are people not here tonight because they've been taught wrong about the subject of communion. So I'm going to try to go on a fast track, and I'm going to take a few of the verses where Paul is teaching on communion, and I hope that it'll bring a new revelation to all of us and answer some of the why question so we don't walk out of Egypt blind. Are you with me, everybody? Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians, we're just going to go verse by verse, real simple. And 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 26, here's what it says. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim... You're proclaiming. You're confessing what it is doing. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, the question would be, well, why is it so important that we proclaim his death? Well, we're proclaiming, we're recognizing his death because all of us know this. We were the sinners, and we deserve death according to the law, but Jesus came and paid the price for our sins as he died on the cross. That's what this week is about. That's what we're celebrating. And so he's saying, I want you to remember his death. Why would he want us to remember Jesus' death? It's not that he wants us to remember how terrible it was, but what his death has provided for us. So, and if we just go through communion as a ritual, then we are missing and forgetting what his death provided for us. And can I tell you, his death and what he went through on what we're going to call tomorrow Good Friday, it wasn't good for Jesus. How many know that, right? But what that provided for us, let's look at verse number 27. It says, so then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. That word unworthy, I underlined it for a reason, because that's where people get misunderstood. And that's where people kind of go sideways. If they drink in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. And so some people think, man, I've got too much sin in my life. I'm not good enough. I'm not upright enough. But that doesn't sound coherent with the rest of the gospel, right, everybody? We know there's no condemnation. How many of you know none of us are worthy of what Jesus has done for us, right? We can't earn that. And so let me give you a better definition in our language without getting too much into the Greek and some original transcripts. If I could just tell you, the word unworthy, better translated, is the word understanding. If you have this communion without the understanding of what it is, then you miss its purpose. I know Pastor Aaron, I know myself, we don't want you to miss the purpose of what communion is all about. And so unworthy means an understanding. In other words, understanding, knowing what Jesus did. Now let's look at verse 28 and 29. It says, everyone ought to examine. I'm going to come back to that. Everybody ought to examine themselves. We're examining where our heart is, where our bodies are, where our soul is, where our emotions are. We're examining that. I'll come back to it. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning, without understanding what the body of Christ is all about, watch this, they eat and drink judgment on themselves. Now let me just see by a show of hands, how many would really like to get some judgment on your life tonight? None of us would. And that's what scares people about communion. I grew up in a denominational church, and I was terrified when it was communion time. It was like, can I miss that day? Can I run out? I was terrified because I had always heard these verses, and I thought, man, if there's any kind of secret sin in my life or something, I thought something bad, I seen something bad, I heard something bad, and if there's anything bad in my life, then God's judgment is going to be on my life. Can I tell you, that's a totally wrong teaching on that subject. Let me give you two words. I'll probably mispronounce them for all you Bible scholars out there, but let me give you two Greek words that are interpreted into the word judgment. The first one is diakrino. Diakrino means to separate. That's what it means. You will drink diakrino on your life. You will be separated. Separated from what? Separated from the blessings that were purchased through the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. Separated from the blessings. Is everybody with me? You will drink judgment on. When you examine yourself, are you discerning why Jesus died? Are you understanding why he died? If you don't, then you're going to be separated from the blessings that come from what Jesus Christ did on the cross. How many of you do not want to be separated from the benefits of being a child of God? I do not want to be separated from the benefits I get as a child of God. Come on, is everybody with me on this? All right, now watch this. But many times when we read that, we interpret it through our language as katerino. There's probably a better way to pronounce that. But katerino, the Greek word, means to condemn. And many times when we read that, we think, man, if we're not worthy. Well, none of us are worthy. So we think, man, I'm going to bring condemnation on myself. You say, well, Ken, how do you know that's not the interpretation? Well, first of all, I got this book called The Greek Lexicon, and I looked it up and found out that it didn't mean that. But second of all, the Bible never contradicts itself. And Romans 8, chapter number 1, tells me there is now, therefore. no condemnation. So there's nothing I can do that's going to bring condemnation on my life because of the work of the cross, because of Passover, and because I've partaken of Passover, spiritually speaking. Everybody with me on that, right? And so now let me give you one more definition of the word judgment, just to try to put this totally in play here. The word judgment, watch this. I think this will be the, I think this is the aha moment. I hope it is. Pretend that it is so I'll feel good, all right? The word judgment, here's the definition. I looked it up in the original and it says an enforcement of a decision previously made. So judgment is the enforcement of a decision that's previously been made. What decision has previously been made that I have to be fearful of? Well, in Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 17, God tells Adam something very significant. He says, look, you can eat from any of the trees out there, but if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And that, when Adam and Eve committed that sin, that judgment came on mankind. It came on the earth. That's why we live in a sin-filled world. The moment they ate God's judgment, in other words, God, what God said became truth. He couldn't start all over. He couldn't say, just kidding. He couldn't restart. Sorry, mulligan, let's try this again. No, he said, if you do this, you will die. That's the judgment that came. So, but he prepared a way. How? Through Jesus. So if you don't discern what the Passover, the Jesus, is about, then you stand under the judgment that was passed down thousands of years ago. So why in the world would Christians living under grace, receiving Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Passover, why in the world, ladies and gentlemen, would we settle for anything less but the fullness of being a child of God? I don't have to stand under that judgment. Come on, everybody, right? And so sin entered the world through disobedience. And when we don't examine ourselves, we receive that judgment. We don't really receive it. We just live under it because the world is under that curse or that judgment. And let me bring you a little further, a couple verses. Verse number 30 says this. That is why, this is so key, I want you to grab this. That is why many among you are weak and sick. Because we don't discern the power of Passover. Did you get that? Isn't it terrible? God's in heaven saying, I have paid for your health. I've paid for your healing. I've provided a way. Why are you walking out of Egypt blind? Why are you serving me with brokenness and damaged emotions and sick bodies? That is why. Not because it's God's curse on you, but because the curse, God's judgment. How many know we live in a fallen world? But when we become born again through the act of Passover, we are born again in Him, receiving the benefits of Him. I hope I'm making sense to you. Amen. All right. One more verse. Verse number 31, but if we were more discerning, in other words, if we would really grab an understanding of this, if we were more discerning, if we weren't just going through some exercise, if we weren't just, okay, I got to do communion because it's the first Sunday of the month, or, you know, whatever we do sometimes as a church, but if we are more discerning with regards to ourselves, if we're better understanding, we would not come under such judgment. That was my Shazam Gomer Pyle moment, and I was kind of... That was the big ba-dum-ping. Okay, we would not come under such judgment. In other words, we live in a world where there's death and sickness and disease, but if we could understand the power of Passover, we would not have to come under that. Wait a minute, Ken. Wait just a minute before you get too far ahead of yourself. Are you trying to say to me that everyone that partakes of communion would be healed in their body? I'm not saying that, but I'm saying the chances are better that you could be healed. Does everybody get healed that partakes of communion? Does everybody get healed that we pray for? No, but let me just go back to something real quick. That is why many among you are sick. That's not why all of you are sick, But that's why a whole, in other words, there is sickness in the world, and everybody we pray for does not receive healing on this earth. But the Bible is very clear, but that's why some are. That's why many are. I believe tonight this. I believe some of you are going to be healed in your body of something that has plagued you for a long time. And God said, it is too long that you have received my deliverance out of slavery, spiritually speaking, but you're still walking with physical infirmities that are hindering you from all I want you to be. Now, will everybody get healed? I'm believing that they will. Does everybody always get healed? No, but that's why many of you are still sick. Are you following what I'm saying on that? Okay, now there's two elements here. Let me say this. You say, well, Ken, really, come on. You really expect me to believe the fact that we're going to pass out in just a little while a little wafer and some little grape juice? You really expect me to believe that that has that much power, that drinking some grape juice and eating a little wafer has that much power? Maybe you're sitting there and you're asking this question. Can eating something really have supernatural power? And I would say, let's go back a little bit in history and let's ask Adam. Hey, Adam, talk to us about your diet. The Bible calls him the first Adam. And Adam, let's just say it this way. With disobedient eating, he brought death and sickness and judgment and curse. The second Adam comes and he commands us to eat also. Until I come back, remember this. Eat this again and again. And the second Adam, through obedient eating, brings life, not death. So good. Healing, not sickness. Blessing, not curse. Come on, are you with me on that? Now, Pastor Aaron may ask me to make sure I helped you understand the two elements. I'm just going to take a minute apiece. The bread that we're going to partake is the body of Christ. It represents the body. Let me read a scripture to you, Isaiah 53, 4 through 8. Surely he took upon our pain and bore our suffering, yet he considered himself punished by God. I want you to notice that word, punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we're healed. That's all I'll read for right now. But people, I've often heard even Christians say, well, you know what? I'm sick because God's judgment is on me. Wrong theology. If we're sick because we've done something wrong and God's judgment is on us, then God has to apologize to Jesus. Because Jesus went through all that and God said, I put your punishment on Jesus. I put your punishment. And so I hear Christians all the time saying, oh, this plague is here and this sickness is invading this country and it's because of God's judgment. That is wrong theology. That is not grace. How many of you know that, right? Now, that's the cup. That's the bread. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're in just two more minutes, we're going to start passing out the elements, and we're going to take the bread together, and we're going to examine ourselves, and with full revelation and understanding that there is power in the broken body of Christ. And I'm going to do something that I know we can only do because this is family night. I'm going to ask for a show of hands of those that need a healing in their body. And I'm just going to say a simple prayer from this platform, a prayer of faith that God, because your word says that we didn't have to come out with any sickness. I'm going to pray, God, that if our sickness is due to a lack of understanding, God's people perish for a lack of understanding, then God, we have revelation now tonight to move our faith. And Pastor Aaron, I believe people are going to be healed right here tonight. While you take a simple wafer out of a package, I believe there's going to be healing. How many will believe that with me tonight? All right? Okay, last thing. That's the first. That's the bread. The second thing, because communion is a two-part thing, and I don't want you to miss it. Okay? I don't want you to miss it. Otherwise, you're like the guy coming out blind. The second part is the cup. It represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Pastor Aaron so powerfully taught us on Sunday that in the Jewish Passover, there were four cups. And you can jot it down, look at it later, Exodus chapter number 6, verses number 6 through 7. He talked about it Sunday, the four I wills. But when we partake of the cup tonight, here's what I'm going to ask you to partake of. I'm going to ask you to receive into you the fullness of all four cups. I'm going to ask you by faith, either you're saved and you're thanking God for salvation. And then the next cup, as he talked to us about Sunday, the freedom of being set free. And just like God can heal your physical bodies tonight, I'm believing also there can be a supernatural healing of the bondages that happen in the mind, the habits of life, the thought processes. Man, I think something powerful is going to happen here tonight, all right, everybody? And then the third thing in that third cup was restoration. And what you're doing is saying, Father, I'm going to receive the place you want me to be. I want you to restore me to the very original purpose that you created me for. And then hold on tight, because he'll answer that prayer. And then lastly is you receive fulfillment, because there's no better place to be than understanding the power of Passover and walking in that power. Is everybody ready to receive communion tonight? Come on, let's do that. Come on, let's receive. All right. And if I do any of these instructions wrong, Pastor Aaron, help me out. There is a bucket of communion elements at the middle, and you're going to take one and pass them to the outside, all right? And pass them to the outside. Just take one and hold that element with you, and then I'm going to come, and we're going to pray together. So the bread is in the cup, everybody, all right? It's okay if you want to go ahead and open that and hold the bread. Hold the bread. We're going to partake together. Everybody say together. Because I want us to pray a prayer of unity. All right, everybody? All right. We'll give you just a moment. Thing if Jesus' body was broken and we came out of Egypt blind, broken, because we don't discern it. That's why many are sick. So tonight, I'm going to ask you to show your faith by raising up hands in just a moment. And then we're going to pray a prayer of unity. I'm just going to lead a simple prayer. And the prayer of unity, where two or three gather, is you simply just agreeing with my prayer. Sometimes people will say, yes, Lord, let that be. Amen. God heal them. Those kind of things, okay? And so that's a prayer of agreement. And so if you're here tonight and you're in a situation where you need a healing in your body, I don't care if this is your 100th time asking or your first time, I believe the fresh revelation elevates our faith to receive that tonight. And so if that's you, I just simply want you to raise your hand up. And if you can, if you're physically able, get it up there so we can see it. There's a number of people. Now, how many that don't have your hand raised will raise your hand and say, I'm believing God's going to heal my brother and sister right now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your body that was broken. I thank you, God, for removing me, that I don't have to come out feeble. And so I proclaim strength. I proclaim healing. I proclaim the power of Jesus, the power of Passover, to invade every broken body here in this place, God. And I ask you just by this simple prayer that you would provide divine, supernatural healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now partake of healing and health together. Amen. Of course, the Bible says then he took the cup, but Pastor Aaron taught us that they were actually four cups. So we're going to imagine tonight we're putting all four cups right in here. A cup of salvation. We're thanking him for salvation. But that second cup is so significant. And you made the statement Sunday. So many people never get to that place where there's deliverance. There's freedom. I'm set free. I'm being restored. The third cup. Being restored to what God created me to be. And so there's people here tonight, and I'm just going to pray a prayer of faith. You're not going to have to raise your hands, but maybe you're struggling, and there's a brokenness in your emotions. There's a hurt that's been a long time that seems to hold you back, a habit that you just seem to struggle with, and it holds you back from all that God wants you. Tonight, there is power in the cups, and I'm just going to pray that who the Son sets free is free indeed. And if it's okay with you and you'll believe with me, I'm just going to pray for the power of God that comes in the second and third cup. I'm going to ask that God would just set you free, heal your emotions tonight. Matter of fact, it is just family. How many would say, you know what, I need to receive that prayer tonight? So agree with me in this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, my heart breaks because sometimes it's the unseen hurts that are the most painful. God, we often see people with a physical infirmity, and it's easy to pray, but there's people, God, with emotional infirmities of abuse and abandonments and hurts that have created habits and issues and strongholds in their mind. But tonight, we're not just drinking the cup of salvation. Tonight, Father God, we are drinking of the cup of freedom. And we're drinking the cup of restoration so that we can drink the cup of fulfillment and be all that you've called us to be. Thank you for your body that was broken. Thank you for your blood that was shed. We give you praise in Jesus' wonderful name for healing. Amen. Let's partake of the cup together.
I want to invite you guys to sing with me. What can